Good evening, everyone.
Here's my screen.
Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and very happy to be here tonight. We have a very interesting guest, Peter Ayer, and I think that's how he says his name, but we'll ask him. And just before we go to that, I just want to make a couple announcements about things that are going on Camelot. So if you haven't been paying attention, we did have a live event last night with Courtney Brown that was entitled Exploding Planet, which was about remote viewing a planet known as Maldek by many, that happened about 3 million years ago in our solar system and impacted and created moons like Iapetus, apparently, or at least impacted Iapetus, and also caused the trail of comets that are in between, I guess it's Mars and Jupiter. So, or Mars and Saturn. At any rate, this is a very interesting live event, and it is still available for a post stream if you're interested in seeing it. It is $7 for non-subscribers and half price if you subscribe. If you subscribe for $100 a year, it's free. We are trying to raise money to keep Camelot operating during these very sort of tight times financially. So anybody who is interested in seeing that is very welcome to do so, and we encourage you to contribute to Camelot. If you'd like to become a member, that's a great way to do it and also save yourself some money over time and keep us operational. So that's what's going on with that. I have a very important blog post. I've got a new whistleblower from the NSA, Black Projects, and there is a new post in that regard. A few days ago, I posted something called Ultra Top Secret that had to do with the movement of large equipment and or craft in the Colorado area, and which is why I also had some back channel information from a source saying they were out there causing those wildfires and why they were doing so. So they needed a camouflage, basically a cover beneath which to operate, and all of that is on my blog. I encourage you to read those posts. There's a lot more there. There's a very interesting information from the SAIC that is long known to be a front organization with lots of ties to the defense industry and Black Projects. Apparently, they lost or misplaced or hid or whatever said to be 1,000 personnel files. Now, I don't have verification on this. I only have one source reporting to me, but obviously reporting it at great risk to their own safety. So that's quite interesting. That does coincide with information we're getting that they are moving large groups of people that they perhaps consider valuable off-planet at this time. It's something worth being aware of. And so that's, I guess, the most pertinent information. Other than tomorrow night, I do have a very important live event on Ustream again. This, again, will cost you a little bit of money, but it is well worth it in support of Camelot, and also so I can pay my webmaster, which has become increasingly difficult to do. That is on Project Bluebeam. We have several speakers who are involved in that really fascinating conference that we're going to be having. It is a roundtable discussion that these are things that I've been doing for the past year or two since the technology has been enabled, allowing us to have video and to do roundtable discussions, as mentioned. So I encourage you to check that out. And the speakers on that are going to be Anthony Sanchez, George Lebrun, Courtney Brown, George Kavassalis, Mike Harris, and myself. And every single one of these people has back-channel sources they have been in contact with that have given them very interesting information. George Lebuono is a former journalist, financial journalist, and he took a side trip and wrote a book called Alien Mind that's all about alien-human interactions and has a lot to do with the social political landscape that various races find themselves in the universes and how they deal with that. It's a fascinating work, and I encourage you to search for it on the net. It's again called Alien Mind. For those of you who don't know George Lobono, Mike Harris is in touch with, he contributes to Veterans Today. He himself is a radio host on Republic Broadcasting. He is not an expert in this area, but he has joined a group called the ADAMUS Group that is headed up by Gordon Duff, who is doing a lot of disclosure on Veterans Today regarding the ET issue. Most of it's true, and we're glad to have Gordon Duff aboard and releasing some of that information nowadays. So I think that kind of covers it. Sorry for the delay here. Peter Ayer, are you on the line with me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, and you are, well, you're in the UK, so it's very much in the middle of your night, isn't that right?
Yes, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've just spent 12 hours in London in the court, and having a few hours sleep, talking to somebody called Kerry Cassidy, and then going back to London again in the morning.
Oh my God. Well, you're very ambitious to even attempt it. So kudos to you for that. I have your bio and your site listed on my website. And also for the people listening, we do have a chat room where people can ask questions and put them in all caps. That's the easiest way for me to find them. And we have a call-in line as well. So at some point during this conversation in the next 2 hours, we will allow for call-ins, but you can type your questions at any time. Peter is a very interesting individual, and I'm very happy to be in touch with him. This is I've got your bio here, but I wonder if I shouldn't just let you go ahead and describe it, because I have to say that it's sort of convoluted. You apparently have had you've lived a very full life, it looks like.
I'm still living, Carrie.
Yes. Joined the military at the age of 15 and traveled the world, and from there it gets quite involved, and then you sort of made a right turn at some point, or a left turn, however you want to look at it, and sort of changed your ways and your approach. And I think you call yourself at this time a journalist. Is that correct?
I try and steer away from that. Some people say I'm a very good journalist. I'm not a journalist at all, actually. I'm just a straightforward guy that got involved in helping people in poverty in southern India, and that was the change of my life. I'd led a very materialistic life previous to that, and having been humbled by the people in southern India, absolute poverty, I returned to the UK, and then soon after that, Operation Cast Lead in Gaza took place. And that just blew me away, because I was very much aware of military weapons and what they can do and the mass genocide from DU, et cetera, et cetera. And I became an activist, started writing articles. I signed up with the Palestine Telegraph as one of their columnists. Got myself in trouble for some of the things that I wrote, which is part of why I'm in court at the moment. And then that extended into missing nuclear weapons by the British, missing nuclear weapons by the Americans, and I guess you could say one reason for going to war. And if missing nuclear weapons justifies going to war, then in that case we went to war with the wrong country. And so it goes on. And the person I'm in court with, which I can't say too much about, is a female arms investigation, part of a female arms investigation team in the UK, and there's been a big cover-up. That person is a star witness in the current inquiry, but hasn't been called forward. So there's obviously a lot of cover-ups. So I think that's probably enough about me. It's not boring. It is a very full life, and it's still ongoing, I can assure you. So I'll go back to you and let you ask a few questions.
Okay, well, you have all this very tantalizing information that you've just sort of pointed to very briefly. Certainly the story, and I'm not sure how much of it you can tell, but The one you told me about the nuclear weapons is quite fascinating, and I'd love you to tell that on the air here. But at some point, we do want to circle around to your lawsuit and what that's about, at least on some level, that you're able to talk, understanding that this is still ongoing. And that I did put you in touch with Neil Keenan and Keith Scott, and a brief article about that. So if we could start off with the nuclear weapons story, are you able to tell that story on the air?
Yes, that one, certainly. Back in late 1980s, when Maggie Thatcher was the Iron Lady, was in charge of the UK as Prime Minister, she had under her belt, or on the apron strings, I should say, a young research officer by the name of David Cameron, who was our current Prime Minister. And he was sent down to South Africa to investigate and possibly take possession of some nuclear weapons. What is rather ironic about the whole exercise is there was an embargo on South Africa, as we all know, due to the black-white situation. And so there was no trading was to take place, and yet this team went down on this sanction-busting trip. And David Cameron went with one of our scientists, and also Dr. David Kelly was involved, and we know what happened to him. They turned up at a place called Pelindaba in the Republic of South Africa, and they came across a whole pile of nuclear weapons. There were actually 10 made. That was a joint venture between the South Africans and, believe it or not, Israel. Who else? And Israel actually needed a place to develop and test nuclear weapons because there isn't space in Israel to do it. And so they developed the 10 nuclear weapons. One of them was let off on Prince Edward Island, south of South Africa, and that left 9. And at the time of the changeover from whites to black, Maggie Thatcher, and indeed the President of the US, was getting rather concerned that these nuclear weapons would fall into the hands of the blacks, etc., etc. And so it was decided that the remaining 9 nuclear weapons would be sent back to Chicago, the current home of Mr. Obama, or was the home of Obama, to be dismantled, decommissioned, etc. Maggie Thatcher, on the other hand, decided how good it would be if she could purchase 3 of them and keep them on standby to use against Saddam Hussein. Are you with me so far?
Well, I'm certainly with you. I assume our listeners are with you on the edge of their chairs, so go right ahead.
Okay. Just be aware, Kerry, that I am intercepted on a regular basis because of the nature of my work, and so if we get cut off, you know why. I will still be alive, hopefully, but they do intercept me.
Well, Camelot is certainly got that going on. We're equally guilty on that score, so forge ahead.
Okay, so we can both sit in prison together in our rocking chairs.
Exactly.
Okay. So 3 of those nuclear weapons, it was negotiated to purchase 3 of the nuclear weapons, which was carried out. The remaining 6 were sent to Chicago. I can't tell you the story beyond that, but nobody seems to know exactly what happened. But the 3 I can certainly tell you about because we have whistleblowers here, and one of those whistleblowers was part and parcel of negotiating the contract on how to move them and by what device. And so basically you had 3 nuclear weapons that were purchased illegally under the embargo using taxpayers' money, but then channeled through the private sector. And the shareholders in that company were, most of them were senior members of Parliament, House of Lords, and of course key people. And so they were sent without security in standard shipping containers, the 3 of them. They were quite mobile weapons, so there was 1 in each shipping container. They were sent to Oman, where they were again stored in insecure compounds. The private compound actually belonged to a friend of the arms dealer, who was John Breedenkamp, a Jewish Rhodesian, which is now Zimbabwe. And they were put into storage, no problem. But then the same gentleman, knowing that everything was illegal, then decided to take them back and replaced them with sea containers containing concrete blocks. And so three nuclear weapons went for sale on the black market. Are you still with me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so they were to be put on standby to apply pressure to Saddam Hussein during the early stages of the Gulf War. At this same time, Maggie Thatcher, of course, was about to lose office. What they did was she needed to up her game a little bit to stay in power, and so 17.8 million of that illegal transaction was siphoned off from the taxpayers' money and ended up in the Conservative Party election fund, which didn't do any good because she lost power anyway. So you can see the sordid side of that. The person responsible for checking the health of the nuclear weapons, the core temperature, etc., was none other than Dr. David Kelly. With him was an aeronautical engineer by the name of Sir Ken Warren, who is still alive, unfortunately. Maybe God will take him as soon as possible, but he's still in existence, and I think indirectly he's still causing me problems. David Kelly's gone, and so they were stolen, and they were actually shipped to Iraq, but they didn't stay in Iraq. As I said, they were very mobile, so if you could imagine a nuclear weapon being able to fit inside a standard ambulance, they were shipped by road in three ambulances across the border into Syria. And at the time when Tony Blair took over, there was a lot of gossip about a sexed-up dossier on what Saddam Hussein could and could not do, and so there was reference given to nuclear and biological warfare weapons being able to be used within a time span of 45 minutes. And so this is probably the basis behind that.
Okay,
you're coming
hold
up
on
break.
One moment. Yes, we have a break here, and we'll have to continue your story on the other side of this break. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically surfs popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of buyer protection. Silvercoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. Silvercoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark silvercoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
You, as a free, beautiful, independent human being with inalienable rights, own yourself. As a result, you can do what you want with your own body and own the product of your labor. The implication is that it is morally wrong to initiate force against someone else or their property, because to do so is to violate their rights. Therefore, all human interactions should be free of force, fraud, and coercion, and people should be free to exercise their rights, limited only by respect for the rights of others. When you learned don't hit and don't steal, it wasn't unless you work for the government. When you learned thou shalt not kill, it wasn't unless your dear leader gives you a gun and a uniform and a one-way ticket to the other side of the world. Government is force, an opinion with a gun. And force is a poor substitute for persuasion. Governments frighten us into thinking we need them, but with knowledge, philosophy, and technology, we are empowering ourselves and each other to have the courage to move past the paradigm of statism and restrain government to only moral uses of force, at least until we replace it with the cooperative free market solutions that will soon render it obsolete.
Indigrow is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigrow lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigrow lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigrow lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigrow lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigrow not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light. That makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigrow products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigrow lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-grow.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigrow really is your sunlight in a box.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
Up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his.
Okay,
and you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is?
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Peter Eyre. Right before the break, Peter, you were finishing your story about the nuclear weapons and what happened to them. They ended up in Syria, I believe you had said right before the break. And at that point, what went on at that point?
Well, it's rather unfortunate that I have to use the term Syria, because, as you know, there's incredible pressure on Syria at the moment, which is really not justified, because that's another Libya. We can go into that another time, and I can pretty well prove that. It's just a forced regime change. But yes, they did go in Syria, but they were sold on the black market, and in actual fact, one of those weapons was successfully tested by North Korea. And it just so happens, round about the same time, that America also lost a batch of SRAM nuclear weapons, which happened to be dumped from a B-52 that was limping back to Diego Garcia, which was a British base in the Indian Ocean. I don't know whether you want to go down that road at the moment. There's probably too much for people to take in.
Oh, well, this audience, it sounds like you're not familiar with Project Camelot, but believe me, they have gone all the way down the rabbit hole at this point to places that don't even have to do with things on surface earth, so to speak. But so this is not going to be too much for them. As far as the nuclear weapons, what you're saying is that, well, it sounds what you're saying, is that three of them made their way to Syria, but two of them then left Syria. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying these were two other ones?
No, nobody knows the final destiny of what happened to the three that were sold on the black market. We do know enormous amounts of money were involved, and some of that was siphoned off. And just to prove the authenticity of this, we have had conversation with people that were contracted to or help move those weapons out of Pelindaba in South Africa. That in itself is enough evidence. And the fact that 17.8 of the taxpayers' money was siphoned off by David Cameron and his team into the Tory party funds, and that is recorded in Hansard, which is a legal document in Parliament, and to this day has not been accounted for. When you take party funds from any source, you have to give its origin, and many questions were asked, and in actual fact the opposition used it in a blackmail sense to try and get some cooperation with the other side, and the 17.8 million has never been accounted for to this day. And it also so happens that Tony Blair also got a backhander because he was aware of the same situation.
So that's
the background. They did go missing. They obviously didn't stay in Syria. But I believe the Israelis did carry out some airstrikes in Syria soon after that. So that could be a link that they were trying to trace where they may have gone. And John Breedenkamp to this day is still living the high life. He's got family in the UK. He lived very close to Maggie Thatcher. It's very convenient, isn't it, when your neighbour can sell you a weapon?
quite extraordinary. I'm wondering, just in a, regarding the other seven, because you mentioned three, and then you mentioned ten, I think, originally.
There was ten originally. One went off in Prince Edward Island. It was on a barge offshore. That was witnessed, and in actual fact, the early satellites, American satellites, did pick up a nuclear explosion because it's quite a flash of light, and that was covered up by the American government by saying it was some damage in space by some space debris or whatever. But it was also very carefully monitored by Los Alamos, and there was an internal memo going around that confirmed that a nuclear explosion or test had been taken place. And there's obviously been a lot of communications of late about the Israelis cooperating with South Africa on such a venture. So that's it. That they well and truly left Syria, and one was used in North Korea. That was the only successful test explosion. But North Korea had one prior to that, and that was what we call a fizzler. It wasn't a true nuclear thermal explosion. And that happened to be one of the old B-52 SRAM missiles, which was American, that was dumped off the coast of Somalia.
Ask you this. You say you're not a journalist, but you did write as a columnist for the Pakistani News. Is that correct?
No, the Palestine Telegraph.
Oh, right. Okay, Palestine.
I wrote for them because I was so angry after my trip to India that I didn't think that people could be treated in the way that they were. And when they blitzkrieg Gaza, which is very densely and very small hamlet, as you know, I was horrified. And I've always been quite a good talker, and so it was easy to put words, you know, to write the words down. And I just started writing that. And in actual fact, round about the same time, I wrote a book called The Deadly Link. I've never published it. It's still sitting in my computer. Normally you write a book a year, year and a half, 2 years, and I knocked it on the head in 1 month because I was so outraged. And as you probably know, Kerry, if something's bothering you, you write it down. And that's exactly what I did. I vented my anger, and then I realized that I'd got something remarkable. I had the ability to communicate, both in the written form. I do a lot of TV and radio like I'm doing now, not necessarily at 3 o'clock in the morning, but, you know, Kerry Cassidy is a little bit persistent.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I don't know. but I think that you somehow we got in touch with each other, and I forget how.
I'm just teasing you. You were not persistent. I think I came to you because I wanted to contact Keith Scott.
Sure. Well, at this point, I'm just curious, you know, with your access that you seem to have, can you explain, are you getting a lot of back channel information, people coming to you for a purpose? Have you had dealings with intelligence agencies? Some people would say it sounds as if you might have been either an intelligence operative or an asset You can appreciate how that sounds that way.
Yeah,
how
sure.
else would you know where one nuclear weapon or another was?
Okay, well, first of all, I did join the Navy at the age of 15, and part of that role, because it was like codes and ciphers and gathering intelligence, not in as a spy, but as an operative, I was, you know, doing codes and ciphers and things like that, and I actually worked in NATO for quite some time at their headquarters, compiling information and then passing that information on to the operations room where it's put on the big board. So it's like a game of drafts. You know, the Americans move a missile site to the border of Poland, and then you've got to match it, so you move one, you know, in the similar area. It's just like a game of chess, and that's what I observe going on. And due to the nature of my work and my power of observation and research, it was very easy for me to carry on that next stage. And just, I've always kept in touch with aviation because my profession is I'm an aviation consultant, and I've worked with the airlines, so I can talk about 9/11 with, you know, a great authority. Etc. And so I used this experience to talk about many topics. I kept up my research, which was very high tech, just monitoring things, and then occasionally the odd whistleblower would come forward, and I never print or talk about anything I can't prove. That's vital for me. And so, yes, there
okay.
is a little, there is a little bit of a, shall we say, intel background, but I'm not an intel operative. But I have been in touch, and in actual fact, the person I'm up against at the moment in the court is part of that network. And you may recall of late that an MI5, MI6 guy was found in a red bag in the bath in London in a MI5, MI6 safe house. How you can die in a protected house, I don't know. And of course, at first, it looked like it was suicide and he was homosexual, whatever. How can you get in a big zipper bag, zip it up and lock it from the inside? I find incredible. But anyway, this person was associated with the person that I'm in court with. And I'm drifting off now because my opposition in court actually has absconded the country now and fled to Latin America, which gives some element of truth to what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, can you talk a little bit about that case then?
I just thought I'd finish with the missing nukes because
sure.
you've got to understand that the B-52s were flying overhead Iraq during the Iraq War with nuclear weapons. They weren't allowed to put them out on the wing pods, but basically they could carry about 20 altogether. But inside the bomb bay was a rotating capsule like the revolver, and in each of those breaches was an SRAM missile, which were very, very sensitive to temperature changes, highly dangerous. And when one of those B-52s had technical difficulties, especially on the electric side, the plane was not allowed to return to Saudi, so it was sent down due south, sort of down towards the Somali coastline, and then dog-legged across to Diego Garcia. But when it got down towards Somalia, it had major problems, and so they jettisoned a batch of at least three SRAMs, but we're not sure of the final figure, into fairly shallow water off Somalia. And then the plane proceeded onto Diego Garcia. Three of the crew ejected successfully. Three of them tried, but they were too low, and so three perished. And the B-52 tail number was 592593, and it crashed on the 3rd of February, 1991. But you'll find no reference to this, and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and all the rotten people over there knew about it and did very little, although there was rumour that this could have been the reason why they first went into Somalia, to try and find them. And John Breedenkamp, who's the guy involved in my missing weapons, could have been involved in this with his cohort, who was another Jewish Rhodesian called Billy Rautenbach. And I believe your government's been after both these two players. And they were sold. He got an awful lot of gold for selling them. And one of those SRAM missiles was the first nuclear test carried out by North Korea. So you can see how quickly they get into the wrong hands or the right hands, whichever way you want to look at it. So, yes.
Okay, so this, you're saying that these SRAM missiles, as you call them, are nuclear weapons?
Yes, they're the early stages of the cruise missile, but they had a nuclear warhead, and they were very sensitive. So that this is why the reason why Saudi wouldn't let the plane land, because technically none of the aircraft were supposed to be carrying nuclear weapons on, you know, over Saudi airspace or within Saudi. So they kept them inside in this revolving cartridge. And then when the plane had lots of problems, because of the sensitivity of the SRAMs, they had no choice but to jettison them, hoping to make it finally to Diego Garcia, which they didn't. They crashed into the sea, and three of the crew perished. Three of those crew, I think, are still alive, but you won't find any reference to it. I think that's enough about nuclear weapons because, you know, there's such a lot more to go over.
Yeah, I understand that. I just was one thing that I was just curious about. You said your nuclear weapon, you just referred to it as your nuclear weapon, which I didn't understand the reference. It has something to do with the court case. And could you explain how...
It does, because you've got to understand that the person concerned was responsible for... we had here what we called an arms to Iraq sort of inquiry. The earlier one was called the Scott inquiry, not Keith Scott, the Scott inquiry, Lord Scott. And the person that I'm up against was part of the investigation team. It was held off camera, obviously, because of its confidentiality. And so that same person obviously became aware eventually that what was eventually passed on, or was originally passed on as being three simple cylinders, were not three simple cylinders, there were three nuclear weapons. And so they were signed off by, I think it was Peter Lilly, who was working for the Department of Trade and Industry, which was another covert way of getting arms around, because it wasn't sideswiped through the normal system, you know, of dispatching arms from A to B. It was done through the Department of Trade and Industry. And, of course, some of those people indirectly are up against me at the moment. We know that there's a political overtone in our case. And technically, at the moment, our case is squashed on small technicalities, and we've been harassed in so many ways, and so...
Okay, but I'm sorry to interrupt here,
yeah,
but I still, it's not clear, I don't think, to the listener, what the case is. In other words, what's your stake? I'm sorry, we've got a break here, so if you could answer on the other side of this break. Thank you so much, Peter Ayer.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drochten Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drochten Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000, and gold has gone up at least 600%. Brockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me, Paul Drockton, to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Only Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
Could it all be a bad dream or a nightmare? Based on preposterous notions and on ideas whose time should never have come, preventive war is used as a road to peace. Tolerance delivered by government guns. An empire replacing the republic. Slavery sold as liberty. Socialism to save capitalism. A government out of control. Unrestrained by the Constitution, the rule of law, or morality. Money does not grow on trees, nor does prosperity come from a government printing press or escalating deficit. A central bank that deliberately destroys the value of the currency in secrecy, without restraint, cheered on by the pseudo-capitalists of Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. The good news is the reversal is achievable through peaceful and intellectual means, and fortunately, the number of those who care are growing exponentially.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy. Weeknight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time with your host, Sean David Morton.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Peter Ayer. Just before the break, I was asking him about his lawsuit to get it a little more clear on who is involved in the lawsuit and who is and what your stake is in the lawsuit. It sounds to me as though the lawsuit is against David Cameron. But I could be wrong on that.
No.
Could you explain what is your stake in the lawsuit? Like, were you part of a company that is involved, or were you involved personally? How did that work?
No. You've got to understand that when people are major key players or major witnesses, star witnesses in certain inquiries, that if that person themselves are corrupt, socially speaking, through their own network or fraud or possible fraud, then it's very easy for an ex-intel operative or arms investigator to use the weapon with which they're trained, which was spilling the beans on illegal arms activity, to protect themselves against a counterclaim by the police or by the government on their own fraud. And that's what happened in this case. And I've got a whistleblower who's very good at investigating fraud, and we suddenly found there were all these boiler rooms operating around the UK, lots of them in London. A boiler room is a facility or an office that can be absolutely appalling in its appearance, but inside there could be as many as 3,000 companies, non-existent companies or virtual companies, shell companies, whatever you want to call them. And within that investigation, because both myself and my colleague, my whistleblower, had become victim of losing our life savings through similar scams. And so this expose came out, and we started printing the fact that we'd come across somebody here who was, you know, a key player in arms to Iraq, chemical, biological warfare, nuclear weapons, technology, etc., who had got direct access to number 10 Downing Street, the Prime Minister's residence, and kept changing sides, political sides, probably to protect themselves in the blackmail sense. And so that person took exception to what I was printing, which was factual information, and said, if you don't withdraw them, I'm going to take out a defamation case. And what we didn't realize is because of the expanse of this fraud and the connections of the person concerned to arms, etc., etc., and a Chinook helicopter that crashed that was an inside job, it goes on. It's an enormous case. You would never see a case like this ever in history, so integrated with so many complex issues all running simultaneously. And when people get angry, Kerry, they start adding more ammunition to, or more fuel to the fire. So what started off as a simple revealing somebody's corrupt business and business address suddenly becomes connected with illegal arms dealing, missing nuclear weapons, siphoning money out of the taxpayers' funds, and it goes on. And it's ginormous, but the media is not interested because the media is controlled, Zionist controlled. And so, you know, I go to the Royal Court of Justice and I see a whole pile of cameras from Sky TV or whatever, all filming something that some corrupt cricketer has done, some misdemeanor. And we've got this biggest case, you know, in history, in my opinion, because of the complexity of it all. And we know that we're not just up against a simple woman that was involved in fraud, involved in arms investigations, but there's a political dynamic behind this story, and people like Sherry Blair, you know, Tony Blair's wife, who was a lawyer, and all these sort of people, and House of Lords, and the Prime Minister, could all be pulling the strings to try and kill this case. And at the moment, it's dead in the water, but I told you, I've just come back from London. We're appealing. We've started the appeal, and I'm going back to finish it off.
Okay, but just out of curiosity, first of all, are you unable to name your whistleblower?
Yeah, no, I can't do that because, in actual fact, they have tried to put a super injunction on me, which you're not even supposed to discuss, but it hasn't been served. But this is something else that's extraordinary because there was a special select committee meeting in Westminster where they got all the journalists about standards in journalism, press, TV, radio, the full works, House of Lords reps, all discussing about what could be said and not said. And as you know, the law of journalism is that if you believe the story is true, then you print it. And that can get you into trouble. And so I can tell you that in the case of defamation, where defamation is concerned, there's never been a super injunction or a gagging order on anyone involved in the defamation, because if they put a super injunction on me, for instance, at the moment, that means I couldn't continue with my case because I couldn't talk about it.
Okay, but the case is are you taking out the case, or, you know, and I know the British system is different, but is this your case or your whistleblower's case, or are you being sued for defamation by this woman?
We're being sued for defamation because we refused to withdraw the information that we knew was correct.
And, okay, so you printed this in an article?
In actual fact, if you look at my blog, there's a whole series in there called Pandora's Box Opens Up More Grime, and that's all about political and corporate fraud and banking fraud, which is where it links in with the other story that you covered with Keith Scott and the other guy.
Oh, I see. Okay, so at this point, it's a case against you, but you have continued to, I guess, release information. Is that correct?
I've not released yes. I mean, I continue to expose everything. And if it touches base with the case, then obviously I back off a little bit because it's commercial suicide or social suicide for you to start talking about something on air or in writing about it while your case is still live, because it can prejudice the situation or create an unfair situation for the third party that's taking you to court. So obviously we don't cover that, but the stories are out there because, you know, I'm not going to pull them off the blogs or pull them, you know, I talk about them on radio and what have you. It's already out there. I don't repeat that, but if people want to go into my blogs and Pandora's box, they will see, you know, the person is named, the story is there, the missing nuclear weapons. It doesn't mean to say that person is directly involved in that particular situation, but
okay.
the big picture just names and shames everybody from the Prime Minister, who is totally corrupt at the moment, to Tony Blair, who's not only totally corrupt, he's a war criminal. And incidentally, I'm one of the few people that's filed a war crimes complaint against him in Kuala Lumpur, a very substantial one.
Oh, you did? So you can see
the complexity of this case is mind-blowing.
I see. But in terms of the war crimes at Kuala Lumpur, did you happen to know Alfred Weber?
Yes, I know Alfred and Lorraine Murray. I also provided information because I do all the wind charts. Oh boy, we're drifting off here, Kerry.
I know, but I just wanted to ask about that.
Well, because
my audience does know Alfred,
okay,
and they know about the lawsuit the war crimes tribunal that he was part of.
Yeah, my background, as I say, is quite complex. I've worked in almost every... When you're doing contractual work, it puts you through a whole sphere of industries. So I've covered almost every industry, including the military. And my expertise is aviation, obviously.
Okay.
And so I was giving information out on my own knowledge and my own investigative skills, which turned over other leaves, which to me was literally just turning over a leaf, but then may infringe on the nature of my case, because everything is interconnected. You know, when you start doing what you and I do, it opens up a whole can of worms, as you know.
Sure.
And so that was the situation.
At your blog, and I'm seeing Gordon Bowden is probably the name of your whistleblower.
Correct. Yes, he's okay. In the case with me, and he's the person that's exposed the massive corporate fraud with the banking fraternity right up to Rothschilds and Rockefeller's level. This is why there's an interconnection between...
Okay, now, I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but I don't want to lose the trail right this second.
Sure.
Are you aware of Lord Blackheath and his testimony in the House of Lords regarding the $15 trillion?
Absolutely. That came over in three tranches to the HSBC Bank, and then those three tranches were passed on to what was then the failing Royal Bank of Scotland, RBS. The RBS was run by a pile of fraudulent directors, and when those directors moved on, they were given massive bonuses. They weren't put in prison, which is where they should have been. They were given massive payouts and just moved on. And the people that replaced them were equally as corrupt, because we've got leads in that area.
Well, the reason I'm asking you about that is because I, on my blog, have been covering a lot of the White Hats. I don't know if you're familiar with their blog. It's called the Dark Cabal Blogspot. Perhaps you're familiar with them.
No, you'd be surprised. I'm very independent because...
I see. Okay.
I'm of the
well, they're the ones who gave the information to
yes.
Lord Blackheath, so
yes,
I just
I know
thought
that.
Perhaps you might know those people. But that is an interesting link up. Okay, we've got another break here, I guess, and we'll be right back. Sorry about this.
All I want is the truth now.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. You ever notice who it is? Stop to think of who it is we kill. It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the head. Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. We're too busy thinking around, sitting around trying to think up ways to kill each other. Here's one we came up with. It's efficient, too. Genocide. You know? Killing large numbers of people simply because they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, and they don't have the same kind of hats you do. You ever notice that anytime you see two groups of people who really hate each other, chances are good they're wearing different kind of hats. Keep an eye on that. It might be important.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. Five stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Our hero. Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Peter Ayer. Just before the break, we were talking about the money that Lord Blackheath announced on the House of Lords, and I was explaining that the White Hats were the ones who gave him that information. They had researched that extensively, and they're actually publishing reports as I speak on this matter. But I wondered if you said you kind of moved quickly over it, but it sounded as though you had invested some money somehow, some way, and that began some of the goings-on behind the scenes in this lawsuit. I'm wondering if you were involved in what's called those trading programs that the White Hats are currently exposing on their website.
I think the easiest way is for me to just cover the area that we've exposed on the fraud, and when you multiply that hundreds of times in any given city, then you realize the magnitude of and the scale of the rip-off that's going on. So let's assume that myself and Kerry and other third parties want to invent an oil company or a gold or a diamond drilling, whatever. We have to raise money. So we invent a project. The more isolated its location, the better. So we'll say it's in Timbuktu in Africa, very isolated location. Nobody's going to check it out because you can't get there. So we start a company off. It can be a disused mine site. We can recover the data and the yield per ton for that mine site, or if it's offshore drilling program, the gas and oil that was moving at that particular time until it was drained. And we can use that data to then start putting over a very technical brief to our potential investors. And as you know, with oil, gas and mining, we're talking about billions of dollars or pounds, because it's big money to be able to do this. And so we go off on our little jolly, we go to New York, we go to Paris, we go to Frankfurt, we give a beautiful presentation about our super-duper company, that we're onto something big, we're giving you false information, we wine and dine you, preferably more wine than dine, get you a bit lubricated, and then at the end of the evening, we've raised our billions or whatever in Frankfurt, we then move on and do the same again. And so you raise this incredible amount of money for a non-existent company and a non-existent project. It can be a spade hole in the ground with a fence around it and a tin shed with an armed guard sitting there. That can be an open pit mine or whatever. It's that ridiculous. And so what the investors don't realize is that as of that moment, from that moment on, their money's gone forever. And they play you along with the, you know, things are not going well in the Congo, there's conflict, there's heavy flooding from the torrential rain, we've got a few hiccups, but with still good promising results. They tag you along over a period of 5 years. Round about the middle of that five-year period, they start giving you little snippets of bad news, like it could be the Falkland Islands, which is a classical case at the moment. And then towards the end of that 5 years, it can be six, it can be seven, we don't know, but it doesn't matter. We give you the final news that the yield per ton isn't what we expected. There's no oil, the reserves are not so viable, or there's conflict, or there's a potential war in the Falklands, and the whole program shuts down. They then close the company down, resurrect it again under a different name, and keep doing it. These are called virtual companies or shell companies, and they operate out of boiler rooms. And I can name you a couple, 22 Arlington Street, next to the Ritz Hotel. Tony Blair operates out of there quite a bit in a very fraudulent way. And another one is Lonro, which is in Berkeley Square in the Cadbury Schweppes building. Another.
Okay, well, this is, I understand. Now, my understanding is that this is not exactly the same as what is known as the trading programs that require a million or more to get involved in, and actually don't involve investigating in, investing in projects per se, although eventually there is a project that is usually sort of set up to raise, to invest the money in at some point along the way. But it's a little bit different process. What you're talking about is a little bit more upfront in the sense that they're lying from the beginning. With the trading programs that the White Hats and the money that is used to go into what we know of as block projects. This information, this money is basically raised from sort of an in-club of very wealthy individuals. And
yes,
what the White Hats are actually talking about are people like, Ed Falcone is one of the people. He was a real estate developer who got involved in one of these programs, and then they basically took his money and never gave him anything back, and so he's suing them. Is your whistleblower involved in that, or is he suing for another, or is – actually, no, I guess you're just simply part of this defamation case. You're not involved in that?
No.
Or how did
it –
I'm not sure. Why did the boilerplate kind of get wrapped into the defamation suit?
Well, what you are explaining, what I'm explaining, what Keith Scott is explaining, you've got to understand that this is the not only the infrastructure, it's the financial infrastructure of the New World Order. It doesn't matter how the money is passed on, in what mode, whether it be through bonds, through gold bullion, or through massive fraud and corruption or tax evasion, it still is all interconnected, Kerry. And what happened in our case was that I put money into an oil company, and I didn't know that the oil company was non-existent. And my colleague also, only about 50,000, you know, nothing extensive. And so this very small nest egg, which you build up over a period of time, suddenly disappeared. And whichever way you look at it, it doesn't matter how the money is stolen. I always look at it from this perspective. If you take some little old granny's money, or some old guy who's saved this money all of his life, he dies as a result of the stress of suddenly being ripped off and having not a dime left. That is indirect murder, whichever way you look at it. And so our ambition was to expose this, and then suddenly we realised that the banking fraternity was involved, because if there's an oil rig, they need lots of money. So the Royal Bank of Scotland gave an unsecured loan for a drilling programme, and that turned into a toxic debt, and that turned into the taxpayer having to bail them out. And when the bailout money went to the bank, it didn't go to the bank for what it was intended for, to keep it alive and kicking. It was siphoned out again, the same way as when your 15 trillion came via HSBC to the Royal Bank of Scotland. It all just disappears.
Okay, but what I guess, just for the listener's sake, you've got more than one lawsuit going on that you seem to be talking about, though, right?
No. It's all interwoven because I print these articles. The person concerned suddenly can misread the story and say, "Hang on a minute, you've just implicated me in missing in the purchase of nuclear weapons, in the loss of those weapons, or in a helicopter crash. You say I was involved in that, or I've murdered or assassinated, whatever." They're all assumptions, because when people get angry, they read the story wrong. When I write a picture, it can be a story. It can be the Prime Minister that I'm targeting, or a couple of ministers, or House of Lords representatives, or a bank. But because her name or somebody's name is in the article, you know, it pulls them into this quagmire of a multitude of sins all in the same story. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. And I think we're beginning to get to the bottom of this to some degree for the listener. Let me ask you this, because, you know, I'm not sure how much more you can say about the lawsuit at this time, correct?
Yes, I've got to be careful, because although an injunction was issued, it wasn't formulated and it wasn't given a court stamp. But in a defamation case, a super injunction has never been issued ever, and it should never be issued, and it was discussed. But for some reason, they're trying to shut me up. This is not the person that's taking me for defamation that's trying to shut me up. This is the people behind this whole charade of missing nuclear weapons, the helicopter crash, massive fraud and corruption, and the expose of and naming and shaming a whole pile of ministers and House of Lords for massive fraud and tax evasion.
Okay. So, well, that's quite a tall order. So are you prepared to substantiate all the things that you spoke about in your article?
Yes. If you look at the Pandora Box series, you'll see how it works. Because, for instance, one director who can be a silent director, a non-executive director, will say, I'll name, you know, I'm okay to name names. Lord Michael Howard is as corrupt as can be. He's involved in the oil and gas and other things. Peter Lilly, MP. It goes on. Lord McAlpine was involved in the missing nukes. There's a whole pile of names. And I say, you know, take us to court. Bring it on. Because we know they're guilty. And they don't. But this particular person is a small cog in the wheel of this massive corporate fraud that's going on. And that person is being used as a tool against me. And we know that even though that person's now left the country, the cogs are still turning and the case is trying to be kicked out of court. So we're appealing because we know all our files, for instance, one particular file, we had to file three times. And we hand-delivered them to the court.
But how can you appeal? I don't understand. If the case is against you for defamation and the person left the country who's placed the case.
Yes.
Am I wrong with, I don't understand how you can be, you're filing the case, you're only filing your defense. If they withdraw the case.
We've got a counterclaim.
Oh, I see.
So when that person accuses us of defamation, we're saying, hang on a minute, we didn't say that.
Okay, so you're suing them back.
Yeah, we're doing a counterclaim, but at the moment it's all been canned because of small technicalities, and our files have gone missing. Even the very file that was at our last hearing went missing. The day that the hearing took place, the master of the court said, I haven't got your file, but we know it was there. That tells you something, doesn't it?
Well, that's interesting. So how is that possible that the file would go missing?
Well, the correct procedure is you put a file in for your case or for your hearing or for your case management, whatever you want to call it. You put it in by first-class mail, and then eventually that turns up at the hearing and is used by the judge and by yourselves, you know, because you've got a copy, the opposition's got a copy, and you go through it all, and the best man wins. But when that document goes missing, as in the case of our last hearing, the judge says, I don't have your file, you better get it to me, because the meeting's at 2 o'clock. We know that it was in the system. And so rather than just be sheep, like most of us are, I'm a shepherd. I went down to the action office and I said, I put a complaint in against the procedures here that my files have gone missing several times. Now another file's gone missing, which was critical for the hearing. Did you have it or didn't you? And they told me they had it. And they told me that the judge concerned always calls the files up to the courtroom. So you can see that there's a bit of insider trading going on there.
Okay, but you yourself have copies, is that correct?
Yes, always. You'd be silly not to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. No, I was just verifying that. Okay, so at this moment, I do see that on your blog, you're talking about the London Olympics, and that's kind of a hot topic for a lot of people right now. And with your background in tracing, you know, nukes around the world, it sounds like, to some degree, among other things, do you have anything to say about the Olympics? In other words, you know, certainly there's a huge buildup of troops, et cetera, et cetera. Have you gotten some inside information about what might go on there?
Well, I guess we're coming back to conspiracy, because whenever I go on TV or radio, people come straight into the conspiracy factor, and I don't like to go down that road, because I only reveal what I know myself, and of course a lot of it is hearsay. My question would be, why would we have, I think the total military support mechanism for the Olympics is about 100,000 military people. Right, this is including the extended bases, like the air bases and aircraft that are covering the Olympics, plus the massive force within London itself. So this is more than the total force like in Afghanistan. So one would ask the question, you know, does an Olympic Games warrant this? Why would you put missiles on the tops of flats? And the hype that went with it, you know, by the security agents, you know, I know what missiles can do. I know what happens if a jumbo jet wanders off course. My question would be, let's say, for instance, there was some intent to put a jumbo jet down in the arena, as an example. So you put missiles on the roof and you take it out. Does anyone consider the consequences of missiling an aircraft over central London and the devastation below when a jumbo jet breaks up, and the debris coming down, why would you do it? You wouldn't. You wouldn't shoot an aircraft down over the city. There's no logic in it at all. If it was heading for the Royal Palace or Westminster, maybe, but it's all illogical. And then they start talking about chemical. They put an emphasis on chemical and biological warfare. People can walk into the stadium with a little backpack. They can take out their backpack, a little radio-controlled aeroplane, with a small amount of chemical and biological warfare additive, and the job's done. I mean, how ridiculous, you know. There's this, war against terror, Kerry. There's no terrorism. There's no Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Bin Laden wasn't killed last year. He died in 2001. You know,
yes.
You can see, you know, it's absolutely absurd.
Well, yes, we're aware of that, but it continues regardless. So regardless of where this takes one, it's still worth investigating, certainly, why there is going to be such a concentration of military, et cetera, in London at this game, at these games. And the sort of implications of, you gather all these various kinds of military people together in one place, and even if so-called civilian, something doesn't happen so-called accidentally, then you can also have something within the military where something is mistook for something else and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah. I can see we're coming up to a break.
Yes, we'll have to continue this. Actually, what I'd like to do is take questions in the last half hour here as we're coming up on the end of this. Thank you very much, and we'll be right back.
Sure.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically serves popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of buyer protection. Silvercoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. Silvercoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark silvercoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are transiting an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for.
Indigrow is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigrow lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigrow lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigrow lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigrow lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigrow not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light that makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigrow products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigrow lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-grow.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigrow really is your sunlight in a box.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
I am the eye in the sky.
There, Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Peter Ayer. We're actually nearing the last half hour or so of the show, so I do want to give callers a chance to call in. And our call-in number, it's posted on the American Freedom Radio website, but it's also, let's see, it looks like 218-339-8525. I'll repeat that, 218-339-8525, and I'll also have a chat room, as I mentioned, and you can go to the front page of projectcamelot.org and click over to the chat room for the radio show and put your questions, if you have any, for Peter in all caps, and we'll try to get to them. Somebody would like to know, Peter, have you heard of the question, do you have your ticket?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Have you heard the question, do you have your ticket?
No.
Okay. Well, this is something that it's been started quite a while ago. In fact, one of my whistleblowers named George Green talked about people who were talking to him from behind the scenes who worked in black projects, et cetera. And one thing they said was a lot of times they would joke about if a person had their ticket to an underground base for them and their families.
Oh.
In the event that something turned sort of sideways, as they say. So one of the ways that you can tell a person who's been bought off is by asking them if they have their ticket yet.
All right.
So
okay.
Someone wants to know, do you have your ticket yet? So do you want to answer that question?
No, I honestly, this is totally new to me. I can't even answer the question. Kerry, listen, I just want to go briefly back to the Olympics because...
Sure, absolutely.
It was an unanswered question, and the fact is that the Olympics is the perfect venue to carry out a false flag. So with that in mind, it's essential at this period of time in our history that for another false flag to take place. Because for anyone to take an action, you've got to justify the cause. And we know that 9/11 was a false flag. We even know that 7/7 in the UK was a false flag. Your Detroit airline attempted bombing, underpants bomber, the shoe bomber. It goes on, the Times Square. These are all false flags, the same as the sinking of the South Korean corvette. because it's to justify an action. The New World Order has three themes. One is to take over the world's natural resources. Two is to control the markets for those resources. And three is to control the pipeline routes and sea lanes, etc., for those resources. And so to achieve that goal and go into a country like Syria or Palestine, wherever, you've got to create an incident. And so what we're saying is the Olympics is a perfect venue, but it could be a decoy to have all this tremendous build-up. The false flag could be in Birmingham or Manchester or even in the Gulf on an American carrier or whatever. We don't know.
Of course.
And so we're on high alert, and you're not going to stop it. You can't stop a false flag. You know, no aircraft hit any building in 9/11. Please understand that. No aircraft hit any building during 9/11. What you saw was a hologram or a computer generated. It doesn't matter. It didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the very fascinating, and we've got several whistleblowers that say exactly that. We've got a caller here, so I want to go ahead with them, if you don't mind. And thank you for that. That's absolutely true, and we are looking at a situation where, in essence, you can't stop a false flag unless you get wind of what they're planning, and there's a whistleblower who or a source who comes forward and gives us a tip-off, in which case they have to change their plans normally, because that once they're so sort of the element of surprise is gone, they kind of lose it on that score, in theory anyway. But it is an interesting concept as to whether you can change change the future by interfering with their plans by making them public, in essence.
Yeah. Well, of course, in the case of 9/11, we know that the only aircraft that was known to come to an actual mishap as such was the one in Shanksville, but it didn't come down in the field where they said it came down. That aircraft was shot down by the National Guard, and the pilot concerned was given a military award, and that was well documented. But the aircraft actually came down in a forest area and destroyed a house. But we won't go into 9/11. I mean, there's been enough said about that. But
we don't have time, actually. No, it's worthwhile, and it's very good to know that you're up on all of this. So that's absolutely great. I'm going to take this call now and bring this person online here. Area code 201. You're on the air with Peter Ayer and Carrie Cassidy.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Ms. Cassidy. My name is Dan. I'm from New Jersey, and I had the opportunity Sunday night to listen into your show. I'm relatively new to Freedom Radio because a friend of mine just went on about a little while back. And you have John Lear on, correct?
Yes, that was last week, but yes.
Yes, well, it was Sunday, and he called my friend. He said things that, like, my friend didn't know what he was talking about. Now, my friend Sean David Morton always says the truth, and he discredited Sean. But when you asked him, this John Lear, the most point question, what did the Israelis have to do with 9/11? He got out of that question in such a manner that even you made a comment, well, that was like get out of it. In other words, now that man, Lear, his credibility to me is absolutely zero. I would, and
okay,
a double
okay.
agent.
Caller, I appreciate your call very much, but let me tell you, first of all, that you should watch all our interviews with John Lear. He is not always correct about everything he says. Sean David Morton is a great friend of mine, and I admire what Sean does. That doesn't mean I always agree with Sean. We have areas that we don't agree on. This is natural among researchers. What we've got is a guest here. His name's Peter Ayer, and I'm afraid we have to let you go because
Let me ask Mr. Ayer a question that what he's talking about. I am from the old school. I don't know, as far as 9/11, why does nobody address if there were holograms, why doesn't anybody ever address what happened to the people that were on the flights?
Well, that's quite interesting, because there's been all sorts of analysis on this, and it is a very difficult question to answer, but I can tell you, this is diverting from not answering it. I'm just trying to put some factual things in. You have to understand that every flight that departed that day was duplicated. So when a flight was leaving from one gate, there was a duplicate flight number and a second gate allocated. And the reporting system for aviation is covered by a multitude of agencies, from air traffic control to the pushback from the gate, this national statistics, etc. And unknown to the American public, there is also our own monitoring system, being an aviation consultant, that within that aircraft is a system called ACARS, where it reports back to the base operations of United and American Airlines the quality and the way the engine is running, the fuel flow, etc. And when, for instance, the American aircraft hit the first tower, that aircraft was still flying for 20 minutes and reporting back to its base through this automated ACAR system. So there would be one area that should be investigated. And there was hearsay about, I think it was Cleveland or some other place, where one of the aircraft was believed to have landed and moved over to a NASA facility. Nobody knows, but a lot of experts say that whoever was on board was incapacitated, and some of the aircraft were actually tested for radio-controlled mechanisms for future way of flying aircraft. That was fact. Two of the aircraft were tested. I think it was in cooperation with NASA and someone else. So there's lots of irregularities there. I can't answer the question, but I can tell you that only one aircraft actually physically came down that is known, and that was shot down over Shanksville by the National Guard, and that person was awarded for doing it. And all the others, as you know, NORAD was stood down. So there was only one aircraft shot down. Who was on board? How many was on board? Nobody knows.
Yeah, there's some evidence or information out there that says that the passengers, were basically taken elsewhere. Now, whether they were killed or whether they were taken to an underground base or to Mars or whatever, or disappeared in some other form or fashion, we don't know. I think there is some evidence that some of the people might have surfaced in other places. Some may never have gotten on the aircraft to begin with.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of missing pieces there. No doubt about it whatsoever. So it's a good question. And I think, Peter, that's a fascinating piece of information that you've got there, that at least one of the airlines that supposedly hit the towers, and the fact that they were duplicated. I do know they were duplicated. I had heard that, but I hadn't heard the piece of information that said there was evidence that it was continuing to fly and it was in fine order 20 minutes after the hit.
Well, the other issue is, because you've got such a complex reporting mechanism and different agencies involved, from air traffic to radar operators to whatever, that if something is factual, Kerry, all the data would match up. So if a plane is pushed back at 8:45 and it lifts off the runway at 8:55, and it tracks, everything is correlated in all the agencies. But in this case, all the times of liftoff were different. The same way as the ACAR system, as the air traffic control, have nothing to do with that. That's an airline instigated engine management system, and they can actually SMS the pilot through that same system. And of course, that wasn't discussed, but it's factual that the aircraft do carry ACARs, and ACARs is a very accurate record of checking the progress of the aircraft. And when the aircraft communicates with base, it does so via one of the intermediary transmitters. So you can actually tell where it is at a given time within a reasonable proximity. So that aircraft did not hit the tower. It was 20 minutes down the airlines, down the airways, and was recorded accordingly on the ACAR system.
Right. So anyway, caller, thank you for calling in for your question. I'm going to go on to some other questions here, if you don't mind.
Yes, well, just put options. Nobody ever went after the put options from Chicago to New York. What about that? First of all, let me thank you guys for such an exquisite answer. I mean, like, that was, but, like, just let me shoot in the put option part. Why wasn't anybody involved in that?
There has been investigation around that, I believe, as well. You know, Camelot itself has not gone in depth. We do have a few whistleblowers that have talked about 9/11, but we have not gone purposely in depth into that, simply because we are more interested in painting the big picture of what's going on around the world now and off planet as well. Peter, before I let the caller go, do you want to answer that briefly, or do you have anything to say?
What I would like to say is when an incident occurs, people should take a more negative approach to investigating it. Don't assume that everything you see and read about is factual. Go in it into a suspicious and check out yourself if you feel it's true. And for instance, I'll give you a classic example. When anything is moving at conventional speed, whether it's a racing car or an aircraft, you can freeze frame any film down shot by shot, and you can make it go in slow motion into the tower or a racing car along the track. If something is moving at phenomenal speed, you're lucky if you can capture it once or twice in a freeze frame scenario. And so when the aircraft were going in and you freeze frame it, you can see that as it goes into the building, you can actually see the aircraft inside the building continuing on, because the overlay of this false data that is showing you didn't quite work out. And also, when the nose of the aeroplane touches the building, there is a flash. But there's no explosives in the nose of an aircraft. You know, the first indication of anything going off is the fuel in the back in the wings. And that what people don't understand is an aircraft can never go beyond its never exceed speed. And the aircraft at the Pentagon, for instance, was well over its no-go speed. That would have caused wing flutter. Even the best pilot in the world couldn't have flown a Boeing a few feet, a few inches above the lawn into that building. That was a missile. That was a cruise missile, whatever you want to call it. It was not a Boeing.
Okay,
thank you so much. Carrie, you have
much.
A wonderful show, and I'm glad that
I appreciate that. Okay, you take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, and God bless you all.
Okay,
bye.
Me too. Okay. So at this moment, we don't have another caller, but we do have some questions in the chat. So I'm going to just scroll through here quickly and see if I can grab something here. It's not always easy to do this. I guess this is I'm not sure if it's a 9/11 question. Somebody's asking. Okay, now we're going to go to a break. Okay, well, we'll be right back and continue to ask some questions. If you do have questions, please put them in the chat, and we'll continue this discussion with Peter Ayer.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
As many of you know, I promote my bullion business, Drockton Bullion, on a regular basis. I created Drockton Bullion to make sure that you were prepared for the economic collapse that will shortly befall not just the United States, but literally the entire globe. As you know, silver has increased in value almost 1,000% since 2000. and gold has gone up at least 600%. Brockton Bullion specializes in helping you find everything from 90% silver coins that were minted before 1964, 0.999% pure silver rounds, silver eagles, gold bars, gold coins, and everything else that you need for your bullion needs. But more importantly, you get me, Paul Drockton, to consult with, to talk with, to help you, to guide you through the purchasing process. Totally, Drockton Bullion has made millions in sales, my friends. We know what we're doing, and we can help you.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist, capitalist scum f***s who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film, and it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. That looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning.
American.
Warning.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
Use the truth carefully.
Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of Prayer Act on AMR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Peter Ayer. Peter, I don't know if we're quite done, if you wanted to add anything about the London Olympics, but beyond that, I was wondering if you would like to talk just briefly about the Keenan lawsuit, since you did have a recent conversation with Keith Scott. And I have done some investigation in that area, and I wonder if you wanted to go in that direction or if there's another direction that you would prefer, because we are running down to about less than 15 minutes in the show.
Well, the only thing I would like to say is that everything that we're doing, we're coming from the bottom up. They've come from the top down. They're all interlocked. I call it the New World Order spider web. We know the spider, Keith Scott and his associate and my associate and whistleblowers. We know the network of the spider, which the spider web, the New World Order. We know who the spiders are, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, etc. But, you know, what I want to try and put over to the people in the States is that, you know, you all living this eternal American dream. There is no American dream. The dream is over. You're now in a nightmare. There's so many sheep there. You've got to wake up to reality. You've got to become not the sheep but the shepherd and understand that all these false flags that are going on, this massive hysteria on terrorism. There is no terrorism. There is no Al-Qaeda. You know, it's all a false flag. and then you celebrate your independence. You're not even independent. America is still controlled from the City of London. Please understand this. And what they're exposing and what we're exposing, the only way you can hurt somebody is hit the pocket, hit their wallet. And what Keith is doing, what we're doing, is exposing that massive fraudulent network that is causing what they call the Arab Spring, the current Western Spring, the collapse of the banks. There was no accident in 2008. That was an intentional New World Order ploy to collapse the markets. The money's there, it's just been siphoned out. And when the taxpayers, your austerity measures, and your people go into poverty, they're bleeding the system, they're taking the taxpayers' money to feed the rot again, and it just goes on. It's all a false flag.
Okay, well, thank you for that. So at this moment, you have been in touch with Keith Scott. What I was letting you know sort of off during the break that they have withdrawn their lawsuit. And apparently what happened was when they filed their lawsuit back in November of 2011, the next procedure is to put out summons to let the people know that you are suing them. One of the main people that was listed, the number one defendant in the case, would have been Dale Bosco, who was involved in handing over Neil Keenan's bonds that actually belonged to the Dragon family to Del Bosco, who then handed it over to certain parties that ended up somehow involved with, Giancarlo Bruno of the World Economic Forum, and then put them in touch with a number of big players who were involved actually in the United Nations. Ban Ki-moon was involved, and there are other parties named. But basically they decided not to give back the bonds when Keenan asked for them, and they tried to make a deal with him, I believe offering him a certain amount of money that would have been on offer by way of Neil Keenan, who was representing the Dragon family in this situation. The bottom line that we found out is that we're trying to get the bonds invested in a trading program. That's actually the bottom line. If they were made an offer to, in other words, they wouldn't be given, you know, the money on the dollar that the bonds were worth. And I guess the offer that was made was not even close to the amount that they were worth. So Keenan turned them down and then asked for his bonds back. They decided at that point they wouldn't give them back. And then Keenan filed the lawsuit. The issue with the lawsuit is that because he didn't ever get the summons out in time, from the day that it was filed, that's the first step, is that then they go out and give summons to the various parties. And Dale Bosco went into hiding, so they were unable to locate him. So they decided not to serve the summons on other parties either until they could get Dale Bosco. The question I have, and maybe you can even answer this question, is if you know that you need to serve summons the minute you do file a lawsuit, and that you know there's a chance that the parties will go into hiding because they don't want to receive your lawsuit, then why would you go public with it? Because obviously if you go public with it, you're notifying all those parties anyway that they're going to soon get a knock on their door and a summons. So basically, you know, I'm not an expert on lawsuits by any stretch, but I have looked into this, and I asked Neil Keenan and Keith Scott questions in this regard, and the bottom line is that they've decided to refile the lawsuit. Now, I don't know why they think that announcing they're going to refile and then thinking they're going to find Del Bosco somehow, who apparently is their main party that they want to sue, but they've also named people like the United Nations, the entire United Nations. I don't even know if that holds up in a legal court, but if, you know, it seems extreme. Yeah. And are you doing the same thing in your lawsuit? In other words, wrapping whole organizations. It seems that individuals would be more to the point if you're going to sue somebody.
Yeah, this is very difficult. I will try and answer it in the best way possible. You've got to understand the magnitude of our case. It just doesn't rest with massive fraud, international fraud and corruption, and tax evasion. It's the whole gamut of nuclear weapons, etc., etc. So it's very difficult to keep tabs on. The first thing in both cases is you're taking a government on. You're taking an international organization on like UN. So every obstacle possible is going to be put your way. You're going to be given impossible deadlines with an incredible amount of work to put together for you to form your case. And it doesn't matter if the person you're pursuing goes overseas, because you can hold a case in absentia. This is law.
Well, if that's the case, then why did they? Because what in essence happened was they went over deadline because they didn't serve the summons. And then the judge basically gave them a bit more time to come forward with various other information, and they didn't do so. They decided to withdraw their case and refile later. So they didn't have to withdraw the case. They could have simply, as you said, try the person in absentia, I guess. But then again, this may be different in the Court of New York. I don't know.
Well, it's no different to me defending my case and putting in a counterclaim. Sometimes you have to regroup because you are taking the system on. You can't take the US government on, you can't take the UN on or the British government and get away with it. You know, there are going to be hiccups there, and sometimes it's better to regroup and put it back in again in a different context. And I do know from Neil that he tells me that he's very close, I think about a month away, to having another go at it. And you remember he mentioned an out-of-court settlement of an offer of $22 trillion, I think it was, on your station. With my conversation with him, I believe that's now up to $25. So you can see there's a lot of activity going on here. It's like my case. My case will never go into the public arena. There will be some way of eliminating it, some technical itch, which is what they've got us on at the moment. We're appealing. If we appeal, we have got permission to go to full court and jury, which will be in the public domain. It's not going to happen. The likes
of okay, but let me ask you this. If you're in the same situation they are, and if you're saying that, in essence, it's not going to happen, and actually in my interview with Keith Scott, he even admitted, and I've gotten admitting off the record as well, that this thing was never going to reach a courtroom. The bottom line is that they file the case, and then it makes headlines, but it's not going to actually go to court. And so you must be in the same position. So why file? We're just talking about grandstanding in a public forum, aren't we? I mean, what is the purpose?
The purpose is, and I know Keith comes from the same direction, that the New World Order is not about massive fraud and corruption. It's also on about massive intentional a genocide of people playing God. And so there's certain moral and ethical aspects that you have to look at. In regards to why would you go into the public domain, in the media, the TV and the radio like we're doing now, because in actual fact, believe it or not, that becomes your protection, because we are threatened on a regular basis. You're intercepted. And the more you become, dare I say, a celebrity, the more chance you've got of getting through this period. And at the end
of
the day,
I agree with that.
at the end of the day, all you can do is try to educate the sheep out there, the sheep of America, the sheep of Britain, and hope that those sheep turn into shepherds. And no matter what comes out of this, the likes of Peter Eyre is not going to be allowed to take down David Cameron or the past Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who's equally as corrupt and involved in pedophilia, Tony Blair, etc., etc. It's not going to happen. That's the reality of life. But you don't give up.
Yeah. Right.
I met a guy outside the courtroom. I've just come back from London, and he'd been lobbying there for 29 years. Another guy sat in a tent outside Westminster. His entire life was in the tent, and they arrested him, and he died. Of course he died, because he was in their custody. But, you know, there's moral aspects, Kerry. You don't give up.
Right, I hear you. Okay, well, thank you very much, Peter Eyre. Unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. Do you want to give out some last-minute information, your website, your blog address? Go right ahead.
Yes, you just type my name in Peter Eyre Press TV or Press or Peter Eyre RT. You'll see lots of my videos and interviews, and my own blog site is www.eyreinternational.wordpress.com.
All right, thank you so much. Let's do this again sometime very soon. Peter, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, Kerry, not too soon, eh? I've got to have some sleep.
Okay, take care.
Okay, ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you completely fed up with being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are, incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy, others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
The Ten Commandments. Here's my problem. Why are there ten? I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to ten. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told, so they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God had given them the Ten Commandments. Why ten? Why not 9 or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade at the top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. 5 stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate, above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.